Welcome to the London Walks podcast. This episode, Musical London, Part 2.
Thanks for joining us again. Welcome. This is Part 2 of the London Walks Musical London podcast. Last time, we left Andy at the Savoy Hotel, following in the footsteps of Bob Dylan. We're going to pick up where he left off last time. And also, we're speaking to our colleague Richard Walker, bona fide Liverpudlian, a Scouser, who is treating us to his memories of way back when the Beatles were merely another local band. We're looking forward to hearing that. But first, here's Andy back at the Savoy.
So I'm here at the exact spot where Dylan filmed Subterranean Homesick Blues for the opening sequence of Don't Look Back. You've got the Queen's Chapel on the right-hand side, and you look straight up this cobbled street, and I can just kind of imagine, it's so exciting, I can just kind of imagine Bob Dylan standing here with those cue cards. The cue cards, incidentally, made out of the cardboard from laundry, and they must have gone through loads and loads of them as they did different takes. And they were all written by, you know, members of the cast who would have included people like Donovan, Joan Baez. It's very interesting, actually, because that was the last part of his, you know, the end, towards the end of his relationship with Joan Baez. But other members of the crew, so perhaps the director, the road manager. And there's kind of puns within the cards themselves. There's purposeful misspellings, so success, SUCKCESS. He writes $20 instead of $11. But Dylan, you know, young man, only 23 years old, looking so cool, charismatic, enigmatic, quite contrary, perhaps a little over self-conscious or confident, but, you know, just brilliant. And I should say a little bit more, actually, about that song, Subterranean Homesick Blues. It came out in 1965. It was came out as a single on Columbia Records. And it went to number 39 on the US Billboard charts. Then about 3 weeks later, it was the kind of opening track on a brilliant album called Bring It All Back Home, which was Dylan's fifth studio album. And it's a very interesting album because the first half is, he's kind of backed by this electric band, and the second half is acoustic. So there's all that time when it's very, you know, controversial, and he's going from acoustic to electric. The song itself, he says, inspired by Too Much Monkey Business by Chuck Berry and various other kind of songs, scat songs from the 40s and 50s. On the left-hand side, now you just have to kind of imagine this a little bit, there's kind of scaffolding on the left-hand side in the film. That's gone, but there's some bins there. And on the left-hand side, there's this kind of figure, this kind of mysterious figure, kind of shuffling around, bearded. He's got a shawl and a kind of rod. He's having this kind of animated discussion with a gentleman in front of him who's kind of popping in and out of shot. That mysterious figure is, of course, Allen Ginsberg, very much a beat writer. From the 50s and 60s. He'd written a poem called Howl, and he had arrived over in London in 1965. He was doing a series of poetry readings to anybody who would listen for free. He did this big gig at the Royal Albert Hall. 7,000 people turned up. But one of the members of the Beat Generation, beat writers with Jack Kerouac, On the Road, and William Burroughs, Naked Lunch, and many other kind of great figures at the time as well. Some people ask where the name Subterranean Homesick Blues came from. Well, there's a link there with Kerouac. Perhaps he wrote a book called The Subterraneans, so perhaps that was part of the influence. I think what Dylan was trying to do here, and this was apparently completely his idea, he didn't want to mime this. So he wanted to do something a little bit more interesting. And around that period, there was these little kind of video jukeboxes. They were French, called Scopitones. And he wanted to kind of make it so he could show it as a kind of music video. There were two other locations where they attempted to film this. And that was, one was in Embankment Gardens, and one is on the roof at the Savoy, but apparently it was causing all kinds of problems because the wind was blowing the cards, you know, all over the place. But it's just a brilliant, brilliant kind of film footage. So the opening of this fantastic film, Don't Look Back, the first real kind of music video, that's how people kind of perceive it today.
So I'm just around the corner from the beginning of the Jack the Ripper walk, and I'm with Richard Walker, one of our favourite guides, who does the Harry Potter walk on Saturday and Sunday, and he also does Jack the Ripper with me every other Friday. The reason we're here, around the corner from Tower Hill, is because Richard was at the Cavern when the Beatles played there, and I want to ask, what do you remember from it?
Well, I remember that I made one of the biggest mistakes of my life. I only went... I'd been to the Cavern. I'd been a couple of times, but not when the Beatles were there. And it was lunchtime, usually lunchtime sessions, and you just sort of rolled up and condensation was dripping off the walls. It was usually incredibly dark.
You couldn't see it was a basement.
Basement, cellar. Yeah, and it's still there. I mean, you can visit.
And how old were you when you went? Do I dare ask?
Yeah,
how old
were you when you went? Well, I was 14 or 15, I suppose.
And that was okay?
Yeah, it was. People, quite a few of the clubs, you know, they weren't particularly places that you went to get drunk. They were.
Did you go there because the Beatles were playing? Were they already famous?
No, well, when I went first time, we went into the Cavern. There were lots of clubs like that. The Iron Door, the Marquee Club, the Blue Angel. You know, there were loads of them. And it was just one we went into. The reason that I went to see the Beatles was there was a girl in my class. And I remember one day she was sitting on my desk. And she was combing my hair forward. You know, it's all brill cream. It was Elvis Presley. And she said, no, don't do it like that. Do it like this. Because then you look like John or Paul. And I said, who? Haven't you been to the Cavern lately? I didn't like to tell her I hadn't been there that often, ever. You're down there, it's fantastic. It's an amazing group. Because they've been playing in the whole Merseyside area, of course, for quite a while. And they were. You know, they got quite a following. On this occasion, she said they were just phenomenal. She just and she insisted on I go with. I remember they were. It was excellent. I mean, the energy was superb.
Do you think they were going to be big? Do you think they were going to be huge?
No. Just the opposite. This was it. When we came out, she said, "Oh, weren't they fantastic?" I said, "Yeah, they're okay." Oh, she said, "Come on, Richard. They're going to be fantastic. They're going to be really big." I said, "Linda, get real. Three reasons I can give you why they're not going to be big. Number one. They are from Liverpool. Number two, you know, we just don't do it over here. Tommy Steele, Cliff Richard, no, please, Adam Faith, you know. Number three, that name. Where did they come up with that name, the Beatles? Should have come to me. It should at least be John Lennon and the Beatles or Paul McCartney, just like it's Buddy Holly and the Crickets. It's obvious. I was wrong. I think it was about 18 months later when they had the number one and two singles in the charts. They had the number one and two extended players, EPs, and they had the number one and two albums, long players, in the charts. Never been done before and never been done since. For 3 weeks they dominated the charts. I would guess, looking back now, it was just before Brian Epstein went in to see them. Around, you know,
I think it was November 61. But it wasn't just the Beatles there, that the Kinks played, the Who, the Stones.
I remember I was in Gibraltar, All You Need Is Love. Suddenly, Sgt. Pepper's album, that had just come out, and The Magical Mystery. So all of those records, all of those sounds were being played in the bars. And as soon as I heard it, I thought,
I was wrong.
I got that one wrong. And just to confirm it, I'm digging a trench in the midday sun.
Thank you very much, Richard.
You're welcome.
Thank you. For playlists and information on how to download some of the tracks discussed today on this podcast, go to our blog, The Daily Constitutional. You can get there via our website, www.walks.com.
The London Walks podcast was compiled, produced and presented by Andy Hallett and Adam Scott Goulding. For details of the full programme of London Walks, London's best guided walking tours, go to www.walks.com. The London Walks podcast was an APB production.